The next topic we want to grapple with tonight is the title, Let There Be Peace on the Platform. Peace on the platform. Why would there be a need for peace on the platform? Well, because there's chaos on the platform. Who's in charge? Who runs stuff? What's going on? Who do I listen to? Who do I look to? Who do I turn to? I'm competing with your agenda. I'm competing with your ego. I'm competing that you want to be a star and you think you're on American Idol and it's not your personal platform. And you treat the congregation as your audience. People feel that they know what's best and they know how things should go, how things should happen. And so there's conflict, there's confusion. The pastoral minister music relationship is one of the most contentious relationships in all the church. And if you at your church, the pastor and the minister of music get along well and they have a wonderful relationship, wonderful, because you are rare. Most of the time there is dissension and contention between those two positions. Why? Because they are generally two of the most visible positions in all the church, and they command and attract a lot of attention. And they carry with them a lot of authority. And so oftentimes those are two of the most contentious relationships in all the church. There's contention between the praise team and the choir, between the band and the worship leader and the choir director and the president of the choir, and everybody thinks they got something to do. And so we have to operate somehow to build a cohesive unit whereby there's peace. Because only in peace can we get to where we're going to go. And to expect God to move amongst his people in the midst of chaos is unfair. So let me start by saying, if you're looking for the perfect music ministry, the perfect worship team, the perfect choir, stop looking. Because you're not going to find it. Why? Because you're in it. And you know you're not perfect. So knowing that you're not perfect, that means there's going to be imperfection on the praise team. Why do we demand more of others than we even demand of ourselves? Why do you hold that alto to such a high standard and you don't know your part? Jesus. You should accept and even embrace the fact that there are times that there are going to be differences. There is going to be conflict on your team, such as the nature of families, such as the nature of leading people. Sooner or later, there is going to be some type of breakdown. You have different personalities, different experiences, different histories, different cultures, all coming together to make one sound, and there's bound to be something that happens that causes some type of conflict. The goal is how is this conflict managed? And if it's not managed effectively, it can also be fertile ground for chaos, breakdown, and confusion. So, point one, there must be personnel evaluation. We talked about it some last night, but if there's conflict on your platform, you should first start by who is on your platform. And maybe the wrong people are in position on your platform. And that in and of itself is lending itself to conflict because some people are out of position. They're in the wrong place. If your drummer is schizophrenic and plays all over the map and plays up and down all the time, that in and of itself is going to kill your worship service. But then it's going to breed conflict. There are going to be some issues. If you're in the choir and cannot sing at all, period, there's bound to be a breakdown. Because sooner and later, you know, in your section, everybody in the alto section knows what altos can sing. Yes, you do. You may not say nothing. You may go along. But after it's all, you're like, why is she in this choir? Why won't they do nothing? They know she can't sing, and they still let her up in here. Why don't they help us out? Eventually, there is going to be conflict. And the minute that person tries to say something to you, you're going to be like, wait, you shouldn't even be in the choir. Why are you even saying anything? there is going to be breakdown and conflict. We talked about it last night. Are they called? Are they qualified? Are they set apart for this particular area of service? If you're not called, there is going to be breakdown. I need some warriors on the front line that have the same call that I have, so I know you won't quit and get scary on me and run on me, because that's going to be a conflict. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the midst of battle and I turn around and you're not there, you and I are going to have some issues. And when the smoke is clear, don't come talking to me then. I want to know, where were you when all that fighting was going on? Where were you then when we were at rehearsal till 11 o'clock? Where were you then when all those issues and stuff were happening? Where were you when we didn't have a musician? Now we got a musician and oh. But when we didn't have a musician, it was still us. We still came. We still sang. We still blessed the Lord. We were still there on time. We still. But you couldn't be found. Conflict. Set up conflict. Those who are called are quick to find resolution. They're quick to try to work things out. They're quick to try to make things okay because they know we got a job to do. You ever been around people who pick fights? They just like fighting. Just something about fighting. They just set up stuff. You know what she said about you? Like, why would you even tell me that? Because you know what it's going to do. Now I can't worship. It will affect your worship. Conflict will affect your worship. I know that, I don't have to like you. I just have to love you. Well, if we're on this praise team together, you better like me too. You mean you're going to stand next to me on a praise team and we're going to lead the congregation in worship and you don't even like me? How? It's not possible. Breeding ground for conflict. Are you called? Are you skilled? Are you qualified? Is this where you are supposed to be for this particular season? It will eliminate conflict. Next, everybody must understand the mission and understand purpose. Everyone must understand the mission and must understand purpose. Every rehearsal, every opportunity, you must instill and teach purpose. This is why we are here. This is why we do what we do. There should be a written mission statement that aligns itself with the overall mission statement of the church, while recognizing the unique call and mission of the music ministry. You should write it out. This is why we're here. This is what we do. This is what it means. And I'm going to keep it in front of you every single time we come together, because if you have a different agenda, there is going to be conflict eventually. So let me remind you why we're here. Don't let them run on their own. Don't let them go on their own. Don't just let it go by itself. Because if you leave me to myself, I'll come up with anything. Then when it breaks down, you wonder why it happens. And I talk to ministers of music all the time, and they tell me what people aren't doing and what's happened. I'm like, did you tell them? Do they know? What's the rule on that? Show it to me. If you've never told me, how do I know what's required of me? If you've never told me, how do I know if I'm being successful? How do I know if I'm meeting the target and hitting the mark? If you've never told me what's required of me, leaders, this is your job and your responsibility. If you want to cut down on conflict, there must be a mission statement, a purpose statement. There should be a scriptural foundation for everything that you do. Your choir should have one. Your praise team should have one. What is the foundation upon which this particular area of ministry is built? For me, we use 2 Chronicles 5 all the time. And it came to pass, as the singers and priests and trumpeters were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that then the room was filled with a cloud. So the priest couldn't stand to minister by reason of the cloud. So thick, pastor had to cancel church. Y'all, we can't see. It's just so, you just missed. Can't see. And so I established with the choir, with the praise team, this is our goal. This is our motivation every time we come together. No, it's not going to be the same way every time. But as long as God's presence is being manifested in the place however God wants to do it, that's all we need. That's all we want. So this is the motivation every time. And it reminds us of who we are. You think about it with your children. You come, every now and then your children try to, you know, do a little, you know, they try to stand up and what, and you're like, oh, I need to remind you of who you are. You just, what did you say? I thought I heard you raise your voice went up just a little bit. I can't believe your voice actually went up with that. And so, you know, if you grew up in my house, by the time you got off the floor, you kind of, oh, I remember now. I'm a child. That's right. I'm a child, and I'm living in my mama and daddy's house, and I don't pay no rent, and ain't got no job, and I remember now. So you have to keep that in front of people so that they understand this is the goal, this is the motivation. Let me move on. Solid structure is absolutely critical. Solid structure is critical. Let me start by saying somebody must be in charge. Your music ministry cannot run by committee. Committees are wonderful. They are great tools. They do some awesome things. But who do I look to on the platform when stuff breaks down? Who do I look to when the sound's too loud? Who do I look to when we're in the wrong key? And you will get in the wrong key. Can I make a slight... Stop being so deep. Because you make mistakes. Stuff happens. Church can be one of the funniest places. It really can. And so things are going to happen. Errors are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. It's what you do with those that determines how you get to the next level. How many of you have been singing a song and in the middle of the song, you forgot everything you were singing? Song you've been singing forever. And you just start singing. Somebody help me with the word. And oh Lord, we got pretty screens now. If you ever seen the praise team out in the front. Oh Jesus. Forgot the words. It will happen. It's what will you do? And from a leadership standpoint, who do we look to get us out of this mess we just got in? Somebody's got to help us. Somebody's got to be in charge on the platform. When I'm on the platform, 20 people aren't going to talk to the sound personnel. I've told the sound personnel, when I'm on the platform, I'm the only one you need to look to. I will answer all the questions because you can never give my bass player too much. Never. They always want more. And so somebody's got to be on the platform that says, you've got enough. Trust me, you've got enough. Why? Because there are 20 other people on this platform that need to hear aside from you. But if nobody's in charge, who's going to say that? And if everybody gets to yell at the personnel, you've got conflict. You've got confusion. So somebody must be in charge. 1 Chronicles 15:22 tells us Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And it stops right there. Don't say because he was the pastor's cousin. Don't say because he'd been in church 25 years. Don't say because he had a good heart, because he was good people. It was because he was skillful, because he knew what he was doing. And when you have conflict and confusion, generally it's because you have a lot of people out of position, out of place, that don't know what they're doing and don't know how to handle things correctly and appropriately. And so they're doing, and you want to come and just take it. Yes. You ever been working with your children? You told them to, like, put the dishes in the dishwasher. And they just... And you're like, give me the dishes. Lord, we're going to be here all day with you trying to, what is that on the plate? Rinse that off. So the concept applies. You see that up here. And if people are not in their proper position, in their proper place, doing what it is they're supposed to do in the proper order, there is going to be conflict. Who gives instruction? Are there rules? Are there job descriptions? If you're a minister of music and don't have a job description, you need to run to your pastor and you need to beg, beseech ye therefore for you King James people. Pastor, I need a job description. I need to know exactly what you want, exactly what needs to happen, so I know if I'm meeting the mark, if I'm hitting the target. Don't just give me a position and tell me what levels of authority I have. Tell me, can I throw Mary out when I get ready to? Are you going to back me up if I set this down, if I do this? Tell me where my lines of authority are. Do I have a budget? Oh, Lord. Ask for a job description. Write out the expectations. Take time to get together with your music ministry and your staff, and we spend time on, here are the rules. Here's what's expected of you. I don't expect you to agree. I just want you to sign that you read it and that you understand what's on this paper. So then when I ask you to sit down, there are no issues. We don't have to fight. And then you must be consistent in the implementation of whatever rules that you set up. Stop setting up different rules for different people. You let the band get away with everything. You do. Band don't have to come to Bible study. Band don't have to come to anything during the week. Sunday school, you make the choir do stuff. The band. And don't think the choir doesn't see that. Don't think they're not watching that. The choir got their own secretary taking notes. If you sit somebody down because they're late, somebody know. Well, you didn't sit Mary down. It was last March. It was about the 17th. She came in here and she's still singing today. Like, how do you remember my secretary was taking notes? You must be consistent. There is nobody sacred. If I'm dealing with a church, I ask the pastor, I say, let me tell you up front, nobody's sacred. I know because every church has got their favorite singer. They got their favorite. Now, you know her. Don't touch her. Pastor love it when she sings. Well, pastor going to have to get her on tape or something because if she don't come to rehearsal. You must be consistent in your implementation or you have no authority and you will get no respect. All right? Let's look at some of those things that we need to implement from a structural standpoint. First, your personnel, your minister of music, your music pastor. I've heard them call music directors. I've heard them call chief Levites. I've heard them call any number of things, worship pastor, you name it. I've heard them. But again, somebody must be in charge. What is their purpose? What is their job description? What are the expectations? Are they musically qualified? Are they spiritually qualified? Are they administratively qualified? Do they have any leadership ability? You know that talent and leadership aren't the same thing. I know a lot of gifted people that won't nobody follow across that street. Gifted as they want to be, but terrible leaders. Not people oriented. Don't know how to have people follow you, and you're gifted. So stop putting people in leadership positions based on their gift versus their call and their aptitude to be able to. Well, you're gifted. You can play. You the minister of music. Conflict is on its way. Because you don't know how to handle, why you mean, and you don't know how to handle people. You are as talented as you want to be, but you are, the whole choir quit. Seen it happen. Why'd y'all quit? Because we can't stand the minister of music. We love you, pastor. We're going to keep coming, but we just can't sing it. Congregation full of singers. Why everybody in the congregation? Minister of music. Wrong person, wrong position, wrong place. Yeah. Conflict ensues. Yeah. Next thing, it breaks down and there's nothing else that's there. What's your selection process for having those people? How do you audition them? How do you interview them? Are they submitted? Will they stay submitted? Will they be submitted? To have people follow you, you must be a follower. I say this to all choir members. I don't care who the minister of music is. When you step up on this platform, you're in a position of leadership. And people are watching you. And they're looking at you. And that requires a certain code of conduct. You cannot do and be whatever. This is part of the call. This is part of the responsibility. You cannot do and be everything you want to be when you step up in the choir stand. Then take your robe off and come out here with everybody else. If you want to do what everybody else is doing. I remember, you know, because they say they got stories. I probably got more stories than they got. But growing up, some of you know what it's like to grow up a PK, we call it, to grow up a pastor's kid or a preacher's kid. It can be brutal. But understand this. There were things that I could never get away with by virtue of who I was related to. Because of his call, the whole family got called. You can walk around talking about, I ain't the pastor. You got called to be the pastor. It's not my fault. But the whole family had to be called. And more than one occasion, I had to have, son, you just can't. Why? Because you're my son. And that means you just can't. No, you can't go. No, you can't do that way. No, you can't. You can't answer the question. Somebody else needs to answer the question. Well, why? They don't know the answer. I know the answer. Why can't I answer? Son, you just can't. Now there's something else that's required of you. So understand that. The musicians. Again, purpose, job description, expectations. Be careful about getting more than you need versus what you can use. What do I mean? Well, you play the tuba. At this particular time, I do not have a tuba position available in the band. We'll try to work something in. But why would I have that, knowing that it's going to breed conflict because I have things up here that I cannot effectively use? And now it's a distraction, and now everybody is confused. So make sure of that. Can I add this point? Do you know that if you have a good musician at your church, you are blessed indeed? Can I tell you that the majority of churches have no musician? Can I make sure you're clear on that? Can I tell you that the majority, so if you're one being quiet in here now because you're one that don't have a musician at your church, you can stand up and applaud because you are in the majority. You are not by yourself. Most churches are looking for a musician. So if you've got a good one, an anointed one, one that's submitted to the vision of the church, you need to say amen, hallelujah. And I say that because a lot of times churches feel that they're out there by themselves. What you see on TV is not the norm. Can I help you with that? Lakewood is not the norm. Potter's House is not the norm. They represent 1% of churches in America. One. The majority of churches in America are 300 members or less. That's 90% of churches in America, 300 members or less. You are not by yourself. So that helps you understand some of the struggles that you're dealing with. Everybody else is dealing with some of the same struggles. Which also lends itself to the fact that when you are searching for, looking for a musician, you don't have to be hard pressed. You don't have to make and accept anything at any price, at any cost. Musicians who are holding churches hostage. Been there. I've seen it happen. No, I can't come play at your church because I'm already doing. Well, what time can you get here? We'll just start when you can get here. Well, now wait. Now, God told you to start at 11. Why are you going to change for musician? So it's a critical component that you make sure not only that you have qualified individuals, but you have the right individuals. Same thing for your praise team. The same thing goes for your choir, for your sound. If you know Aunt Mary knows nothing about sound, why is she up there? Why? Why won't you invest in any training so that we can effectively have the services that we need to have? But we're frustrated now on the platform. We're looking evil at the sound people. We're looking evil at each other. We can't hear. The congregation now sees all that. Now everybody's mad. Everybody's mean. Now everybody's frustrated. And now God is not being glorified. And we've missed worship altogether. It's gone over our heads because now we're dealing with other issues. We need to eliminate the issue so we can have creative flow on the platform. Further, make sure there's some type of organizational chart for your particular music ministry. Make sure it's clear about who answers to who, responds to who. So we're clear. How does your flow work? What does the choir director do versus the choir president? What does the music minister do versus the musician versus the worship leader? Who's in charge of what? Who can say what? Who can direct the choir and teach the parts? Who's not teaching the parts? Who says where we go, what color we wear? Somebody just say what color we wear, please. Don't just say it. Don't ask us what color to wear. Just tell us. That's just a side note for you. I never knew there were so many shades of cream. We're going to wear cream. Excuse me, Brother Pace. Is that tan? Is that ivory? Is that eggshell? Off-white? Is off-white okay? And it kept, is it acru? Right. The colors just kept coming. Is beige too dark? And so from then on out, we just eliminated all that. That was conflict. And again, that was because at that time, there just wasn't strong leadership that realized that some things we can't have a discussion about. Some things we got to know what's going on, which takes me to my next point. Preparation is absolutely critical to minimize conflict on the platform. The more prepared you are, the easier it is to flow. Insecurity destroys creativity. When you're shaky and you're unsure about what it is that you're supposed to do, you're not going to be creative, and eventually it's going to break down on you. Everybody must be comfortable and confident about what they're doing up here on this platform. Prepare contingencies for things that are going to happen, because stuff will happen. What happens when the sound goes out? Can you still sing? Can you still worship? Have you prepared that? Have you worked on that? Prepare for those contingencies so that flow is not interrupted regardless of what happens and regardless of what goes on. Again, remind the team that their talent is not superseded by the preparation. I don't care how gifted you are, bring your gifted diva self to rehearsal. Rehearsals are not optional. I don't care who it is. Come to rehearsal. Let me also add right here that anointing is critical, and we should be anointed. But anointing is not a substitute for preparation. Amen. Anointing is not a substitute for rehearsal. We're anointed and we just want to be anointed. Well, get anointed by coming to rehearsal. It's rude and unfair to ask God to attach his anointing, precious anointing, to some raggedy, toe-down, unprepared, half-offered, and then say, Lord, anoint me. Anoint what? Stop wearing anointing around you like a cloak like Superman when you haven't done what you're supposed to do, and then you're going to wrap the anointing around you, and you know, that's the great compensator right there. It's the anointing. How about you do some work? Those of you that you've been to school, you've studied, you've worked on things at school, now you haven't studied for the test that's coming up, and you pray. Why are you praying? There's no need to pray now. Why? Because you haven't prepared. You deserve to fail. Why do you deserve to fail? Because you haven't studied. And so to ask God to now supernaturally place answers in your head you've never read. Answers in your head you've never read. To ask God to supernaturally do that makes absolutely no sense. I know the scripture says he'll bring things to your remembrance. That means you once knew something and forgot. It don't mean you never knew anything. So anointing cannot be worn that way. Anointing cannot be handled that way. You must prepare yourself. And rehearsal is critical. Ideally, rehearsal is that time that the singers and the musicians, all those that have to do work in the service of the Lord, prepare themselves for the offering that's about to take place. It's the time, it should be a highlight of the week. It should be a time that we all look forward to. It used to be a time they had to throw us out of rehearsal. Now can't get you to rehearsal. When you get to rehearsal, you're late and have the nerve to look at the clock. Have to throw us out. We would play all night long. Had to make the musicians stop playing because that was our space. That was our time. That was where we could let it all hang out and we could get around with like people who've been through tough stuff like we had all week long, and we worshiped together, and that was just our time. That was the time that we got, the rest of the church just wouldn't understand, but we understand, and we would spend time together and worship together and work together. They'd have to come turn the lights out. You ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here. The worship took place. It was so critical. Rehearsal should be stimulating, exciting, innovative, creative. I'm talking about those of you that have oversight over rehearsal. It should be well planned. It should be anointed. It should be interesting. You shouldn't walk into rehearsal talking about what y'all want to sing. So what y'all want to do? You don't know? That's my rehearsal. I'm walking out. You in charge, you're supposed to tell me and indicate to me what's going on and what's happening. You mean you haven't worked on this prior to? You haven't prepared this prior to? Now, let me talk about you choir members and you praise team members, because the time of me doing all the work, that's over. So let me break this down to you. Now it's time for you to do some work. Now it's time for you to study. It's time for you to prepare yourself. I'll tell the choir, we may be doing something from a particular project, and I'll say, you know, we're going to do this particular song from the Eddie James project, and I need you to go to the bookstore, and I need you to buy this, and we're doing tracks 4, 5, 7, and come and have them ready on Thursday. See how quiet it is? You mean you're going to tell me to go purchase? P-U-R. C-H. You're going to tell me to go purchase a CD and then learn tracks from the CD and actually come to rehearsal already prepared? I can't do that. Yes, you can. Why do I have to do all the work? Why can't you get the tape? Why can't you learn at least the lyrics? Imagine what would happen if you came halfway prepared already. Altos, you should be somewhere on the block of alto. Somewhere on Alto Street. I know I may have to tweak some stuff and I may have to fine tune some things, but you should be in the ballpark. How much more could we accomplish? How much more could we get through if the choir came already prepared and already ready? instead of the choir sitting there and like, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I'll have nothing else to do till the next time we come together and you give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Now you can do something. Lead vocalists who won't study their gift. Lead vocalists who won't look at any vocal training, won't call a vocal coach, won't get a book on what the vocal, you've never even seen what the vocal cords look like. You could go online and pull up a picture of your throat. Something. You're a lead vocalist. You say this is what you do. You have done nothing to prepare yourself for this. That's a waste. And instead of having everything given to you and we've got to pull and force everything out of you, you need to do some work. You know 2 Timothy says study, show yourself approved. So you don't have to be ashamed and embarrassed. You will get embarrassed, have been embarrassed. This is how things break down. I can tell this on myself. My parents will remember. I was a young musician and I played in one key. It was the key of C, the universal key. And if you were doing anything with me, it was in the key of
C.
I don't care what it was. It found its way to C. And my parents can attest to this. Somehow I got to a state convocation. It was here. It was in Birmingham. I will never, ever, ever forget it. It was in Birmingham, and somehow I found my way up on the instrument. The organ, no less. And you know, at that time, they used to sing a song that was a very simple song that we all knew. I don't think they sing it anymore, but it was a real simple song they used to sing. And this particular pastor that was there, and can I say this? If you've got a pastor that's a really musical pastor, we're going to have a special prayer service for you. Because you need a special anointing. I'm telling you, that's another. Yeah. If your pastor's really musical, I mean musical, 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 you need a special grace.
Yes.
So you get the pastors that just don't. They just know that. Oh, that sounds good. Those are the pastors you want. Woo! This particular pastor asked for this particular song in the key of B flat. Well, needless to say. So in your mind, you're like, pastor don't know anything about keys. He heard somebody say B flat. Just sounded good, B flat. So of course I proceeded to start playing in. And so he stops and was gracious at first and was like, hey, is that B flat? You know, I was brought up right and everything. You don't can't lie to the man of God up on the. No, sir. So he was like, well, come on, B flat. That's a little too high for me. Let's go. And so I knew where B flat was on the keyboard, and any musicians that are with me, you know how you kind of play around stuff. You don't actually ever play the song. You just kind of play around, and you know, so you just, you know, you hitting the chord and everything because you're hoping everybody is going to start singing. And so you just play the note and everything. Thank you so much. You play the note and you play around. You're like, come on, sing. Come on. Come on, sing. You're like, what? I need you to sing. Let's go. Come on, let's work with it. So needless to say, it wasn't happening. It wasn't working correctly. And so he stopped again. Now, those of you that grew up the way I did, you can attest to this. I grew up in the type of atmosphere and culture at church. If you were sitting on the organ and if somebody came and sat next to you on the bench, that meant get up. Maybe you didn't grow up that way, but that's how us musicians cut our teeth. If somebody came and sat next to you, that's like, you're not cutting. You ain't pulling it. Let's, hey, had your chance. Sorry. Gotta go. And usually that person has been sent by some other pastor or bishop or somebody from the back and said, go get him. So this pastor says, is there anybody in here can play this song in B flat like I ask? So, you know, here came someone. And I was like, please don't sit next to me. Just don't sit next to me. And sure enough, he came in, sat next to me. And so I said, can I just sit here next to you? Till you get done with the song. Can I just, you know, let me. And this particular church, I can see it like this particular church was a long church and it had a center aisle. It wasn't like, and so the guy that came and sat next to me was like, no, get up. So you get up. and you know the saints. So you're walking down this aisle. And you know the saints are just like. Mother's like, you okay, baby? No, I ain't okay. Just got fronted up here. But I was trying to muscle an entire service from one key. I should have never been on that instrument. Never. How you gonna muscle an entire service for a big old meeting in one key as if God was just going to allow every single song they sang to somehow drop into that one key? Come on, musicians, we were sitting at the organ. What, no transpose? We couldn't flip keys. Either you knew it or you didn't know it. But I wasn't ready, I wasn't prepared, and I should not have been up there. So now there's conflict, there's confusion, and I was embarrassed. I had not studied, I had not showed myself approved, because I had not worked it out, and I was rightly ashamed. Because I never should have been in that predicament or that situation. Choir members, you need to be faithful, committed. Have your notebooks, Bibles, tape recorders, everything that's been required of you. Listen carefully. Make the time worthwhile for you and for all of those that are around you. You ever been around people? You had that in school. We have folks that always started trouble. Why are you talking? I'm trying to get my lesson. Stop talking to me. Well, you know, some of y'all was, that's why you quiet, because that was you. All right. You may disagree, but learn how to disagree with me after rehearsal's over. Ain't there always somebody in choir that knows more than you? It don't go like that. I remember when I was playing, my mom's favorite statement to me when I started playing, we were learning stuff, what my mom would say, that don't sound like the record. And I'd be like, well, you play it. Of course, I never said that. That was just in my spirit. Those of you that are, God give you some wisdom. I have some common sense now. Don't think I'm crazy. Leaders, you're also responsible. Remember that rehearsal is also worship time. Make sure you're prepared. Start on time every time. Work fast. Work hard. Keep your business discussions to a minimum so you can get the job. Have a business meeting later, but get the job done, the music done. have separate rehearsals, if at all possible, for your musicians. So they're not practicing while you're trying to teach the choir. They're saying, get together with them another time. Yes, that's a critical call for musicians too. That means I need you twice, because I want to rehearse with you, and then I also need you here when the choir sings. So I'm not wasting everybody's time. Those of you that have trouble with people in terms of commitment and so forth, I'm going to tell you what we used to do. We used to just set up things because I'm crazy, and they know that I'll do anything at any given time. Also, I would make a rehearsal such an intense time that if you miss one or two of my rehearsal, you are so lost. Just lost. I purposely want to lose you. Some of your rehearsals, I could leave for a month, come back, and you're still doing the same thing and the same song all the time. It's like a soap opera. I remember growing up, you could, you know, you remember certain soap operas and whatever. Now that I watched them, but I, you know, you saw certain things, and you could leave those for years. Come back, and Victor Newman doing the same stuff. I was like, is Victor and Nikki together, or ain't they together, or what they do? Years later. I read an article the other day, Victor been on the show for 20-something years. Oh, Lord. And some of our rehearsals are at the same point. Nothing new, nothing exciting, the same thing. Then you'll get up on Sunday and you'll be upset at the congregation because you say they're dry, they're not getting with you. What was wrong with them people today? Did you see them? They weren't even getting with us. And the congregation's looking at you like, what is wrong with the choir? They are dry. Can they learn a new song? Please, we are tired of the same old song. I ain't even getting with that. I ain't clapping. I ain't moving. Nothing. So they learn. If we could strike, we would strike. We will not come back till you learn a new song. Congregation got picket signs. Learn new song. Learn new song. Learn new song. Again, expecting that same anointing to cover. And look at this. Every church has got that song. Don't act like, no, you know the song you do when you don't know what to do? The song when you ain't quite worked it out? You know what? We could always do that song. They love that song. And you carry around that song in your back pocket. And when stuff just don't, you just like, bam. And one day you're going to pull out that song and you're going to fall flat on your face. And that same congregation that fell out last time you sang it is looking at you like, why? Not prepared, haven't spent the time to keep things fresh, to keep things exciting, to keep things new. You will even lose your choir, your praise team, your band, if you don't keep new material and fresh things in front of them. I'll keep a new song in front of the choir. We may not be planning to do it for 6 weeks. I'll start it. Just so you know, so I keep something in front of you. You must do that. Choir rehearsal is not just the time that we come together to prepare. It's also a time where I get to know you and you get to know me. We spend time. I know something about you. Choirs have been singing together for years. Don't even know each other's name. Don't even know what their family's like. You got any children? Can I give you a ride? Is there anything that I can do to help? Is there anything? Nothing. What kind of fellowship is that? How can we be on the front line that way? You holding your gun like this, she holding her gun like that, you holding your gun like that, you holding your gun like this. Somebody's gonna get killed. Why can't we get this together so that we can effectively minister to God's people? And we're talking about worrying about an outside attack, and it's you, my fellow Alto. Lastly, you have the star mentality. You know the mentality, the star search mentality, the American Idol mentality, the monster you've got on the platform. Let me make this note. Some of the monsters you have on the platform are monsters you created. They're your monsters. You made them. How did you make them? Girl, when you lead worship, I just see angels. There's just something about the worship when you lead it and just something happens. I just, oh my goodness, when you lead worship, everything is like, I don't really like it when she lead worship, but when you lead worship, something just happened. And the more I talk, the more she... After a while, I can't get her through the door. Now she is worship. You don't hear what I'm saying. Those of you that maybe rotate worship leaders, I'm talking people who call the church to find out who's leading worship before they come. You've got a monster. Who's leading worship? All right, I'll see you at 12. Monster. Now those monsters breed baby monsters. And so you got to kill them all. I'll tell you what I'll do. When I'm teaching a song, I may teach a new song that has a lead to it. I'll teach it to two or three people at the same time. Just so you can't say it's your song. I'm not going to let you hold me hostage. I'm not going to let you keep me. And I'll indiscriminately change who's singing it. You know, I just feel Mary today. That's my song. No, it's Mary's today. And it immediately eliminates that mentality. Musicians that are star musicians. Musicians, I'll learn a cappella songs and we'll sing Kumbaya before I let you hold me hostage from this keyboard. We'll hold hands up on this platform. We can't sing because the musician ain't here. Who said? You have just bred and created a monster. Not that we don't appreciate you. Not that we don't love you. I'm big on that. You should invest in your members. You should tell them how much you appreciate and love them. But nothing is bigger than the worship. No one is bigger than the worship. No one singer is bigger than the worship. No one musician is bigger than the worship. Because then God has to remind you, who is this about anyway? Be careful about building ministries and departments around people's talents and around people's gifts, because it's going to let you down. It's going to burn you eventually. It's great if you got the gift and you got the talent, but you better have the heart for the ministry and the call that accompanies that, or sooner or later, it's a conflict waiting to happen, and it's going to break down on you eventually. Eliminate the star mentality. We are so glad you're here. Oh, my goodness. We are so glad you're here, but you can't be here? Oh, okay. It's all right. What you mean you can't be here? Please? No. Could you please? What we have to do? Whatever we need. What? What? Go have worship. I've heard many a pastor, I will sing solos every week till y'all get yourself together. Now that's a way to get yourself together. Look, y'all, we got to get together because pastor going to keep singing solos. So we, y'all, come on, whatever we got to work out, let's work it, please. Because if pastor sing one more solo, we got to just, Lord, please, pastor sing, I won't complain one more time. I just can't. conflict, resolution. Lastly, make sure there is some kind of format or venue that allows people to air those issues and those things that are going on. I recommend to pastors and to worship leaders to actually take surveys, maybe at least once a year, of those people that work with you and of those in the congregation. Let them do it anonymously, and you'd be surprised at the responses that you'll get back. Some people have some good things to say. The people right there in your choir might have some wonderful suggestions and some wonderful ideas of how you can do some things better. When's the last time you asked your congregation, do they even like your music? I dare you to ask them. Do you even like our music? And you'd be surprised the responses that you get. Y'all are pretty good, but that one song y'all sang a couple weeks ago, didn't nobody in our section like that. I asked everybody in my section, and they're just like, ooh, that's an awful song. And they'll tell you stuff. We did this at one of our services in Colorado, and we had this suggestion that came back. This lady said, I don't ever hear anything you all say. And I said, what? I couldn't under. And they sat somewhere over in this section, and sure enough, there was a speaker that was out in that section. And she literally could not hear. But then nobody asked, then nobody checked, and whatever. And it took that to find out that we had some faulty equipment that was messing up on people, and they could not literally hear what we were saying. People tell you if it's too loud. You usually can look at people, they could tell. If you leave worship and everybody's like, you might be too loud. Little things like that that help you so that you can minimize and mitigate the conflict that will arise. Have boxes that people can put suggestions in, that they can make offerings to, they can recommend things to you, and don't be scared. Leaders know what you don't know. That's what effective leaders do, and bring people around you that know stuff you don't know. I'm a producer, and I'm an artist, and I got a contract, but I don't need to play all the instruments. That's crazy. Especially when there are people that can do it better than me. Why would I be, well, it's my project, so I'm going to play the guitar. But Joe, you don't play the guitar. But it's my project, so I'm going to play the guitar. And you quickly ain't going to have no more projects. Because that's terrible. That's awful. So learn how to utilize the personnel that's around you to build harmony. Lastly, I would say to you, you need to form some type of fellowship and relationship with those that are working with you. Do some things that are outside of even the church. Get together, get to know each other, harmonize with each other, have relationship. I want relationship with the people that are fighting with me every week. Go somewhere. Ask the pastor, can we just one time a year have some budget so we can take the praise team somewhere? So we can go to a conference like this, or we can go somewhere else and we can just spend some time together and get to know each other. Take some time to spend some fellowship. And let me say this, include your sound personnel in everything you do. Because they will make or break you. Which is just a twist of a knob. And everything you have just said is now irrelevant because can't nobody hear it. And you know what sound people do? Can I tell on the sound people? You know what sound people do? And when they're upset with you and you're on the platform and you're doing, and you're telling them, I need some more. And the sound person will, they'll go like, and they really ain't turning nothing. And you're like, come on, I need some more. And they're like, yeah. And they haven't touched the thing. And now you feel like you're losing your mind and you're going crazy. And like, I see him turning the knob, but I ain't getting no louder. Oh, Jesus, what's wrong with me? I'm losing my mind. And if you're not careful, I mean, sound just turn you off. You don't know what's going on. What's happening? So I encourage you to befriend the sound personnel. If you're going out to eat, take them out to eat with you. At least bring back something. All right. We must minimize conflict on the platform for us to move to the next level that we're supposed to go to. We are a team. We are doing this together. We are building a cohesive unit. And if there is not harmony on the platform, there will not be harmony in our worship. There will not be harmony in our music ministry. And discord breeds confusion and conflict. Now, God says He's not the author of confusion. The Bible never said there won't be confusion. Just that if there is, God didn't do it. So that means it's you. So it means you need to get your act together and self together. And if there are issues, grapple with those issues. Deal with those issues so that you can move to the next level. Amen? Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap, a praise.